Erica, it is very, very clear that you enjoy art. You love it. You do paintings. You do gigantic murals with great detail. How did this all start? Where did you discover this?
I've always loved drawing as a kid. I think we flocked to things that we're good at, and I was always really good at drawing. I could sit, I would look at Disney movie covers back in the VHS days, and I would sit there and just draw the cover, and my mom thought I was tracing it, and she'd say, well, show me how you did that, and I'd sit there and draw it, and she was like, okay, she's got a talent here. So my parents were always really encouraging. You know, I had coloring books and just basic coloring tools, nothing fancy at all. And I always loved art class growing up in middle school, high school. I really learned about painting, and I found that painting is so much more forgiving than drawing, because if I messed up in a drawing, I would erase and erase and erase till there were holes in the paper. But painting, you just paint over it and it's instantly fixed. So I've been painting since I was young, started painting like little flowers on my bedroom walls. And then it has just always been a part of my life. And my sisters, they asked me to paint murals in their kids' rooms. And then that's when everything really changed, when I started doing that, because then my sister's friend wanted one in her nursery. And I was always working a full-time job. I went to school for fashion design and fine art. And I did fashion design, lived in LA, did that whole scene, and moved to Georgia, lived in Georgia for 12 years. There were a few in-between moves between all of that, but was working a full-time job, corporate life, did not like it. I knew that this is not the end all for me. It can't be, because I just cannot do this for the rest of my life. And so I was always painting on the side. I would wake up super early in the morning, 5 a.m., paint, after work, paint. And I would sell paintings to friends and anybody who would buy them. And then when social media came out, that really elevated my audience to get my work out there to more people. And in 2015, I was able to quit my job and just paint full time.
So you're obviously doing what you love.
Yes, very much. I never would have thought this would happen. Never saw this happening, because growing up, it was, you can't just be a starving artist. You need to do something. And I just always felt like, but this is what I'm good at. And I, like, trying to get into galleries, that always seemed very intimidating. And it still kind of is. There's so much gatekeeping and whatnot. So I love that murals are having a revival. And people see the benefit of murals for communities, for their businesses. So I don't see this going anywhere anytime soon.
Looking at your social media, I've looked at some of the murals, the Freedom ones in Ohio, the Snoopy one in Key West. Where do you come up with these ideas?
These are all from my clients. Well, not all of them. The Freedom Flag, that was something that was really special. When Charlie Kirk passed away, I had my bags packed and I was supposed to drive to Michigan to take a break. Me and George, we're going to go up to Michigan. Our family has a little cabin up on the lake, and I was going to just take a break in between jobs. And Charlie Kirk passed away, and something came over me. Maybe it was the Lord nudging me in a direction, because I felt like I need to do something about this. I need to paint this. I need to paint something now. Like, and just like when Trump got shot, everything is about timing. You do it immediately. And it's also a way for me to express myself and how I'm feeling. That is how I communicate, is if there's a great loss or a great joy, or when I found my way to God, I just sat in my apartment and painted Jesus paintings, like that one there. I was so overcome with all this emotion. Like, I have to paint this over and over and over again as much as I can. And when Charlie Kirk died, I posted on social media, you know, I'll just throw this out there. If anybody has a wall that I could do a painting, a mural of him, I would love to do it. I'm not looking to do this for money. I just need to do this. I feel like I'm feeling called to do this. And an old friend from high school reached out and she said, hey, we've got the perfect place for you to paint a mural. It was right down the street. I drove there. I saw the barn. It's like a 100-foot-long barn with nothing around it at a main intersection. So it's going to be seen by a lot of people in the community. And I thought, I have to do this. This is it. So I canceled my trip to Michigan and went to the paint store, got all my paint, and started the next day. And so that came from me. But a lot of the other projects, clients have wonderful ideas. I've painted so many different things. Like, I've painted other memorial type murals for people who've passed away. I have a friend of mine who loves wolves. So I have transformed his whole property into wolf murals. I lived in Mexico for a time and I would paint Mayan women and children and people of the community and the jungle and jaguars and all the animals in the area. So I love finding what's unique to an area. If I have free reign over the murals, which is very rare, but down in Mexico, I did have a lot of freedom where I could paint what I want, and it's to celebrate their culture. So here in the U.S., I'm doing everything mostly for people's businesses. So I have very little input, but I will take their idea and I will run with it into the design. So, and then they tell me, oh, I like that. I don't like that. Can we change that out? And then essentially we kind of design it together. So I like that they get to be involved in the process too.
I noticed you had used a word, the word canvas, in describing a gigantic barn or building. And that gave me an idea of your mindset. You know, it's not on an easel. The canvas isn't. But, you know, when you look at something, do you see it in your mind at first, or do you kind of build it as you go? How does that work?
I do. I mean, I see buildings as canvases. Like, when I'm driving down the road, I will pull over sometimes and go and ask if the building owner is there or if the business owner is there. And I'd say, hey, you have a great wall. Have you ever thought about putting a mural here? I would love to paint a mural for you. Just here's my card. If you're not interested, no big deal. But I just drove by and noticed you have a wonderful wall. So I see everything as potential to beautify, or, you know, turn a boring building into something that the community wants to go and take a photo in front of or something. So, I'd say I look at things in a very different way. Architecture, I love architecture, and I think there's a lot of room to beautify it, because a lot of architecture today is very boring. We've lost the art of building and architecture. Like, gone are the days of the Gothic buildings, the Renaissance style buildings. Like, you go to Europe and those buildings are incredible. And Cincinnati, they actually have some really beautiful buildings still. So if I have a chance to take an unbecoming building and turn it into a piece of artwork, then I love that.
Some of your creations involve Jesus and faith and nature. Do you ever sense God as sort of inspiring or nudging or guiding you towards something?
I do. And my walk to faith is very recent. To be honest, I would say I was into the occult type practices, and I didn't even realize it. But I was into like the darker things that the Bible says do not do, or I would seek out psychics. I would do tarot cards, all kinds of things that now I have learned are really bad. So I feel like, I mean, it could have even been more like demonic oppression, which I truly believe in that. And I think we can open ourselves up to things that we do not realize are demonic and evil. And the minute you open yourself up to that realm, you are at there. You're like a rag doll to these forces. So I feel like I had seen breadcrumbs being laid out that God was nudging me. He was, I believe he was like I came across some podcasts and they were talking about some things going on during COVID. And it was making me think of things in a different way. And they would always relate it back to the Bible. And I would think, why are they talking about the Bible? Like, and it bothered me a little bit because I wasn't into that. But the more they kept talking about things in relation to the Bible, I thought, well, I mean, you can't deny that. That's historical. That's fact. And I love history. I am a natural truth seeker. I will dig in research to find the truth of things. And so I started digging and my mind was just blown. I became obsessed with learning as much as I could because it was just so different from what I always thought. And I think I had like an aversion to anything Christian, Catholic, Jesus related. I wanted nothing to do with it. I was into like praying to the universe and the universe will guide you, not God. I believed that Jesus existed, but I didn't think he was anything better than Buddha and all of these other gods and false gods and everything. So I was very led astray for a long time, but the more I learned, and I think the more God was nudging me and laying these breadcrumbs, I think God must have known. She loves to research things, so I'm just going to drop this breadcrumb, and she's going to go berserk, and it's going to open up everything. And that is exactly what happened. And the next thing I know, I'm doing paintings of Jesus. I had a mural. Someone reached out to paint a mural of Jesus, and I just thought, what is going on? How have I been painting for 10 years? No one's ever asked me to do a Christian style painting, a Jesus painting until now, when I am just now learning about this and questioning things. So I don't believe in coincidences. Everything was just falling perfectly into place. So I thank God for that because I have no idea where I would be right now.
Thank you for sharing. I know that's very personal. One person we have not discussed yet, well, it's not a person, it's George. we noticed, you know, we talked about George a little bit there, but he seems to have an influence on you, a positive influence. And I saw something online about he has an assistant hedgehog. You're having fun with all that.
Yes, George has a lot of friends. They're his stuffed animals. So whenever we travel, he came down to Key West with me. He brought, I don't remember which ones he brought. He brought a dinosaur, I think the hedgehog, an otter, maybe a seahorse. He loves his friends. And he is like my little right-hand man. When I can bring him on jobs, I do. And I can't bring him on the actual job site because he's not well trained enough. Mm-hmm. He's still very much a puppy. So if I get an Airbnb, then he can stay at the Airbnb while I work, which is great. Or if I'm not able to bring him, I have a place here in Ohio, a friend who takes care of him on a farm. So he can just play all day with other dogs and go swimming. And I mean, really live a nice life as a dog.
I had to ask more about him. I'm a dog guy and a cat guy. And I just had my note here about the hedgehog stuff. Okay. So if someone would like to know more about what you do, and also Can they purchase your paintings?
Yeah, I have a website. I will be honest, it's not as up to date as I would like it to be, but there's plenty of things on there. It's just my first and last name, ericaarnst.com. And I also have an Etsy shop where I have a lot more variety of things on there, more of my current paintings. All of my Jesus paintings are on there and canvas prints of those. And that's ericaarnststudio.etsy.com. So if you Googled Erica Arnst Etsy, you'll find the Etsy shop. And thankfully, I think I'm the only person in the world with this name. So I don't think there's anybody else with my name.
So you've done so much traveling, so much with your own talent, your God-given talent. What do you see for the future? What's your prayer for yourself?
I would love to evangelize the big man through my artwork as much as possible all over the world. If he lets me, wherever, I always say every day, show me how I can serve you. I am here to serve him. And I just ask every day, Lord, show me how I can serve you. What do you want me to do? And I will do it. And I keep getting mural jobs. So I just think, okay, he wants me to keep painting. And I pray him to bless my hands and bless every job site, bless every ladder, every lift, my safety, George, of course. But I feel like, and I never thought in a million years I would be doing paintings of Jesus, ever. Never. That would have never crossed my mind. But now that is the most meaningful thing I've ever painted in my life. And I hope I get more opportunities to do Jesus paintings and paint Jesus murals. I would love to paint huge Jesus murals. That's the dream.
All right. Erica, I appreciate you sharing your heart with us. You're encouraging. I'm not going to say bubbly, but you're vibrant. And, you know, I think you're going to encourage a lot of people when they hear this and read our story. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.